This month, Sheridan mentioned last week that we are going to start, or we started a new series, Finishing Strong. So, the topic for this message is Finishing Strong. Actually, this message is for me, so, you know. I'm going to talk about, in my opinion, the most interesting judge in the Bible, whose name was Samson. Now, Samson, those of you who know the story, was born as a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite meaning he couldn't drink no wine, he couldn't touch no dead body, his hair had to grow, no cutting of hair, none of that, you know. And the angel told the parents, you know, that's what you do when this child is born. So that's what they did. When Samson was born, he began to, you know, experience his strength. But Samson had a diva attitude, you know. He was more of a diva. He wouldn't listen to the parents, you know. But God didn't take his strength away from him. He was still strong. He was still doing what he was supposed to do. But, you know, for example, he would go out of the nation of Israel and go look for a woman, a wife and stuff, you know. And the man would be like, wait, you couldn't find any woman in the whole nation of Israel? You had to go to these people? Somebody said, oh, I love her and all that stuff, you know. Basically, because of his strength, he seemed invincible to the rules and regulations that governed his birth, or that governed what he was supposed to do. And as time went on, he slipped up and told the wife the source of his strength, which was his hair. And she was paid for the hair to be cut off. And then when he was called upon that the Philistines are here, he had to get up and, you know, do his thing. Nothing happened. And then he had to be bound and thrown in a dungeon somewhere. They plucked out his eyes. Basically, he got humbled. I'm picking up from how he died. Now, when you read a story and you look at the beginning and the middle of a story, you're like, really? God, this is the person you chose to be a judge for your nation, man? Like, you know. But I think it was not how he started. It's how he finished. Let's read that. Judges. Starting from verse 23, said, now the rulers of Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. While they were in high spirit, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of Philistine were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached towards the two pillars on which the temple stood, braced himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he was alive. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel for 20 years. Finishing strong. This guy did not start very well. His midlife was not amazing, but this guy finished strong. How do I know? When you read Hebrews 11, Samson is in the hall of fame of mighty men of the Bible. We will see him in heaven because he finished strong. Finishing strong is not guaranteed. It requires participation on our part. In our marriage, in our parenting, in our friendships, in our jobs, finishing strong is never guaranteed. You know, you have a wedding day, everybody comes, you know. In my culture, you dance, they throw money on you and stuff. No, in Wendy's culture, you know. You know, throw money on you, say, boogie down. I remember some of you. I have the video. You guys were cutting grass. Oh, no, carpet. Yeah, that. But it's not your marriage. It's not your wedding day. It is after that. You see, sometimes it is not the beginning. We most of the time have problems with the middle. When the rubber meets the road, the middle part of everything, and the end. That's where we have problems. That is where we need God's guidance. Do not let your current situation fool you, whether good or bad. No condition is permanent. No condition is permanent. Maybe right now, your life is in a mess. Taking a deep breath, relax. Right now, maybe you are having it great. Well, enjoy it. Because no condition is permanent. You know why? Because God put all of us in time. Time is a blessing. That 24 hours is a blessing. Just imagine someone hurting you and you getting upset for eternity. I mean, think about that. It will be miserable. It will be torture to be angry for eternity. There is a reason why an eternal God put us in time. So that no condition that we face will last forever. Every condition has time. That is why it does not make sense to hold grudges. It doesn't make sense. You have to let it go. Time is a blessing that God has given to us. To be able to finish strong, God has to be in his rightful place in your life. Reason? Whatever God does, he does the end before he begins. So he knows how everything will end. So if you're looking for someone to navigate you to your end, who do you think is the best person to have as a co-pilot? I would think it would be God, right? God knows the end of each and every single soul that is wearing a body sitting in this room. We don't know that, but he does. That is why he has to be Lord of my life and the Lord of your life to navigate you to your expected end. Without him, you'll be all over the place. Because all you have is what you see in right now, this second. Think about it. God sees in a panoramic view. He sees everything. We see in a tunnel, like right here, a little bit. He can navigate you better. He's a better GPS than we are. If we want to end strong, if we want to finish strong, we need God to direct our lives. God is the better choice than Daniel. Because Daniel is influenced by the world. You want to end right? Make sure your path is directed by God. Your true worship determines where your mind is. Why do I say that? Who do you worship? Do you worship your career? Do you worship your talents? Do you worship your family? Or you worship God? You see, we have a destination to go. Every disciple in this room, we know heaven is our home. But when we get distracted and we begin to feel like this world is our home, we lose track that we are here for a short period of time. And then we fight to hold on to everything we have here. And we lose track of where we are actually going. Just imagine me trying to go back to Ghana. And then I'm in transit in Amsterdam. And then I get there and I'll be partying and hanging out. And my plane is leaving in 2 hours to Ghana. And I just take off and visit another town in Amsterdam, like 6 hours away, hanging out. And it will be crazy. The plane will leave me behind. That's how our spiritual life is. We are in transit. Right here, we are waiting. We are practicing to go somewhere else. Somewhere else is heaven. Are you going to finish strong? The day you close your eyes, is God going to tell you, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? To finish strong like Samson, we have to be broken. You know, Samson did not value his strength till he was broken. There are two ways to be broken. Daniel doing it himself, or God doing it for you. If you want to see how God breaks people, ask Nebuchadnezzar. This guy was so prideful, God turned him into an animal and to eat grass. Okay? Watch all the men who were broken by God. That was some painful sight. Samson had to be broken. That guy's strength was taken away. His eyes were plucked out. Okay, just imagine that. His eyes were plucked out. He became a spectacle. A judge of the nation of Israel became a spectacle, a sideshow for uncircumcised Philistines to watch him just display. That's what he was reduced to. And at that point, he valued what God gave him from birth. Are you taking God for granted? Are the gifts God has given you being taken for granted because, you know, hey, you know, I'm a disciple. I'm married to a disciple, so I know she's not going anywhere or he is not going anywhere. He cannot act like men in the world. Really? Do not take God or your relationships for granted. Think about that for a second. Samson had to pray specifically to God to beg him to give him his strength back one more time, to take vengeance on his enemies for his eyes. Brokenness is a gift from God. Brokenness has a nice way of redirecting you to value the grace of God. Brokenness helps us to appreciate one another. Brokenness helps us to see who we really are in the presence of God. Brokenness takes pride away. You know how we can be broken? By being real with yourself. You know, pride comes in different forms. Some very outward, and some very reserved. You know, you have to get close to see it. I had both. So God humbled me in my purity. And I went after that to see my real need for God. If you do not allow God to expose you, who you really are to you, when God gets in there and grabs hold of you and breaks you, it's not a pretty sight. Some people, when broken by God, because of the pain and the sadness and lack of deep roots, they do not come back. The strength to overcome this world will only come from God. To finish strong, you will need help from others. You remember Samson asking the servant to put his hand on the pillar? We need help from people to finish strong. You cannot finish strong going solo. There is a reason why God put us in the body of Christ. It's called the body of Christ for a reason. There are talents and gifts I do not have. That some of you sitting in this room have those talents. Remember the scripture that talks about God gave us various gifts so that when we all use our gift, we work our gifts together so that the church will grow in maturity, right? That is the use of all the gifts we have in this room. So it will be foolish on my part not to take advantage of the gift everybody has in this room. Flip side of that coin, it will be very foolish on my part not to take the warning signs God allows you guys to give me when I'm going astray. We have blessings and warnings in the body of Christ. Which one are you not paying attention to? Are you not paying attention to both? Or you are choosing one over the other? It is very important to understand that the gifts that we have It's not for us personally. It's for other people. That is why it is important to share and to come to church and to come to midweek and to be among your brothers and sisters so that you can encourage one another. That is the reason why we come here. You know, the singing is awesome, and you know, but we come here to encourage one another. We come here so that when you see someone who is always smiling, now with the face down, you go to them, why has your countenance fallen? And you ask, is everything okay? And the person might open up or might not. But at least someone asked the question. We need one another to finish strong. We need one another to put our hands on the pillar to pull down the strongholds that pull us down. To finish strong, we have to make sure we are very mindful of the strongholds in our lives. You remember those pillars? In my mind, they are strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are, the Bible says, the sins that easily entangle us. Right? Those strongholds. The sins that don't easily go away. There are certain sins that when you become a disciple, poof, they are gone. You're not going to do them again. You know, that's a new life, you know. But there are certain sins, man, that linger on. You will pray and pray and pray. You do your quiet time every day. One day of slip up and you get lazy, poof, it shows up. Like, wait, I thought I got over this already. No. It's still there. Every single one of us, including myself, we have a thorn in our flesh that will not go away until the day we die. Get used to it. You know what that does? It makes us humble. It helps us to understand that, Daniel, you cannot do this by yourself. You need God. That sin that is dogging you, pay close attention to that. You will fight it to the day you die. And that is what will bring you to your knees to God. So that when you come to God, you don't come prideful like the tax collector. Like, I'm not like this. The Pharisee. I'm not like this tax collector over here. You know, the tax collector knew who he was. The Bible said that he couldn't even raise his head to heavens. He just sat down there and prayed to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That thorn in your flesh will make you pray like that. That thorn in your flesh will make you cry and pray sometimes, and your words will be like, what are you saying? But you see, that is why the Holy Spirit is so awesome. Those cries and those groanings and those and ahs, Jesus understands those. He understands those prayers because he has been there. He is the one high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He is the one priest who can relate to being tired, hungry, frustrated, and all of the above. He knows how it feels like to be betrayed. Do you feel betrayed? Your high priest understands that. You see, the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You see, you cannot fight this thorn in your flesh by yapping away. You have to use the weapon that God has given you, which is prayer and fasting. You know, I was having a conversation with someone last week, and we're talking about fasting. And you know, fasting, most of them, when you mention fasting, people think about food. Okay, yes, it is food. But have you realized that in this generation, fasting from your cell phone is more difficult than food? At my job, I seized someone's cell phone for an hour. The lady nearly passed out. Nearly passed out because they couldn't be with their phone for 1 hour. It is the policy of my agency not for anyone to use a cell phone whilst you are working, all right? I saw her in the cell phone teacher and I took the cell phone away. She nearly passed out. You want to quiet your spirit? Think of what you are really attached to. You know, it could be a cell phone. It could be those TV shows you're not supposed to watch anyway, you know. Think about it. Strongholds are the weights that easily entangle us, like I said. We have to pay close attention to that. We have to die to live forever. Are you busy dying or you are busy living? Remember what Jesus said? If you value your life and you hold on to it, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you will gain it back. Jesus was not saying that to look cute. There is a reason for that. You understand? There is a reason for that. You have to realize that if you don't die, you cannot live. You remember what the scripture said? It said, Samson killed more Philistines when he died than when he was alive. A foreshadow of Jesus. Remember that? Jesus had to die for all of us to show up. We are called to die to ourselves. Are we busy trying to live and it's my right? And you have no rights. Get it into your head. You have no rights. You are living in a kingdom ruled by a king. There is no democracy in the kingdom. It's the king's way or the highway. When Jesus says jump, you say how high? Right. Like, yo, let's vote. Can I jump or not? Oh, no jumping. Your rights are gone, man. You live for God. On your day of baptism, you said Jesus is Lord. Lord means your master. Yeah. Let that sink in for a minute. The world will make fun of us because of our faith. If you are a disciple and you're sitting in this room, you are crazy. Get used to it. You are weird. You work 80 hours, you know, and give 10% of your money to church. You know, the one day that you have to rest, you come to something called church, sing and hear some crazy guy talk. You know, you don't listen to certain music, you don't dress a certain way, you don't talk about people. When everybody is slacking off at work, you are working so hard. You are weird. They don't give you a raise for almost 10 years. You still give your best. Really? You're weird. But why do we do these things? It's because of our faith. We know that our boss is in heaven, watching us 24/7. People in the world, their boss, 8 hours, they're gone. No, our boss is always watching, man. He's always watching. When people are slacking off, I cannot slack off because my boss is always watching. Our faith is the most powerful weapon that we have. Do not give it up. Samson's faith was not taken away when his head was cut off or when his eyes were plucked out. He still had his faith so that when he was blind, he could still pray to God that, God, please give me my strength for the last time. Is your faith controlled by outside circumstances? You have to hold on to your faith. Your faith is what makes it possible for you to please God, the Bible says. Your faith is what will allow you to finish strong. Your faith is what makes you who you are. Your faith is what makes you worship someone you've never seen. Your faith is what makes you read the Constitution of the Kingdom and believe it, the Bible, and believe it. Your faith is powerful. Don't give it up. Don't give up your faith when you lose your job. Don't give up your faith when your loved one dies. Don't give up your faith when your spouse goes crazy. Don't give up your faith when the world is going crazy. Don't lose your faith when your best friends walk away from their faith. Don't lose your faith when you lose respect. Don't lose your faith, especially when you fall. Because, truth be told, all of us will fall one way or the other. It is not if, it is when. You will fall one day. Don't lose your faith. It is your passport to heaven. Do not lose your faith. Life will chew you and spit you out. Life will break you down. Don't lose your faith. Hold on to your faith when your kids are going crazy. Hold on to your faith when you're not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. If you are here and you're asking, well, what is this crazy guy talking about? Well, get with one of the crazy guys in this room and study the Bible to become one of us. You know? I'm just saying, don't lose your faith. We have to finish strong. I didn't want to bring this up, but the day I heard Nietzsche pass away, I sat down in my kitchen where he sat when he came to visit, and I was crying. All I could say was, man, that guy finished strong. I was like, wow. Like, that's evidence. Someone finishes strong. I mean, you can't do it better than that. You cannot do it better than that. That guy was in pain for years and did not give up his faith, man. What excuse do you have not to finish strong? Samson's eyes were plucked out. Church history says some of the disciples were sawed in two. Some were fried and did not die, John. And they were so frustrated that they couldn't kill him, that they just sent him to the island of Patmos just to put him in exile. Just get out of here. Some were stoned. When we get to heaven and we are hanging out and we are talking, what kind of stories are we going to share? Like, you know, you go to Paul, like, oh, Paul, you know, yeah, I have nothing. I have nothing, man. He's like, you know, And the scary part is we have brothers and sisters in 2017 living in certain parts of the world that are facing the same persecution. We have brothers and sisters who cannot outwardly say they are Christians because you'll be killed. You'll be thrown in jail for just mentioning the name of Jesus. Now, in 2017, what excuse do you have in the United States, in Staten Island, where we have parking every single day? No alternate side parking, you know. It's like, what excuse do you have not to come to church? What excuse do you have not to read your Bible? What excuse do you have not to be open about your sins? To get the help that you need to make sure that you are walking the path to finish strong. Guess what? If you hide your sin, you will not finish strong. If you don't get people involved in your life, you will not finish strong. If you are prideful, you will not finish strong. If you are arrogant, you will definitely not finish strong. Humble people finish strong. People who are broken finish strong. People who know the place of God in their lives finish strong. People who hold on to their faith, regardless of what happens to this skin that we are wearing, finish strong. Shall we pray?